Moments with Moses. Episode 2. Midian. Number 1, the school. Number 2, the call. Number 3, the name. Number 4, the rod. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world should be amazed, watch his methods. Watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. How he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes, how he uses whom he chooses and which every purpose fuses him, by every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. I learned that poem just after I started in ministry. I can tell you, it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Midian, you remember, was the fourth son of Abraham and Keturah. Midian is in the Gulf of Aqaba, south of the Dead Sea. We're in a desert place. There are mountains there, but it's dry. It's arid. We're by a mountain called Horeb, sometimes called Sinai. Horeb means burning heat. Are you with me there? We're with Moses, and he's at school. Let's read chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The west side of the wilderness, called in the older versions the backside of the wilderness. In the middle of nowhere, for 40 years in Egypt, Moses wanted to be a somebody. 40 years later, here in Midian, at 80 years of age, he's learning to be a nobody. And it took 40 years to get Moses out of Egypt. It took another 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. And F.B. Meyer, the writer of the story of Moses, makes this claim. Everybody needs Egypt taken out of them. Remember, he had been the prince of Egypt, but now he's a shepherd. Remember, he had been Mr. Egypt, the second in command of the most powerful, of the most academically advanced nation on the planet. I remind you that in the Sun Temple, the Oxford of Egypt, this man Moses had learned hieroglyphics. He had learned literature, sciences, mathematics, geometry. Remember, he'd learned archaeology and architecture. He was a man who was groomed and shaved and dressed in finery and smelt wonderful. I remind you that this is the man who had everything. Yes, sire, No, sire. Your wish is my command, sire. And remember the boy who was the son of Amram and Jochebed. Remember them? Levites, Hebrews. Remember how Miriam, his elder sister, had watched over him as he'd been put in the bulrushes. Remember Aaron, his older brother, had grown up with him. Remember how the princess came down to the Nile. Shall I find someone for you? Take this child and nurse it for me. Remember, as he grew there in the palace of Egypt, he was coming out with all these PhDs, geometry. Now in the wilderness, his PhD is in obscurity and in humility. Can you picture him? He's 80 years of age. He's been in the desert. He's married Keturah. He's got two boys, the names Gershom and Eliezer. And every day he takes sheep and tries to find pasture. The prince of Egypt, a humble shepherd. He walks with sheep. He listens to their bleat. He feeds sheep. He cares for sheep. He protects sheep. Maybe he talks to sheep. He smells of sheep poo. Can you picture him, this man who's been groomed? His hair long, his beard scraggy, bits all over it, just in a plain gown, dust in his feet, stones in his sandals, and alone, every day alone. I wonder if you could use a bit of sanctified imagination and bump into him. Moses. Are you Moses? Prince of Egypt? Look at you. What are you doing these days? I'm a shepherd. Remember, the Egyptians despised shepherds. You're a shepherd? You look like a shepherd. You smell like a shepherd. Do you have your own business? No, I'm working for my father-in-law, Jethro. What? What about all that schooling? What about all that training? What about all that potential? What about all those gifts? What about all that power? What about all that affluence and elegance and opulence? What about all that influence you had? It means nothing. Do you know what Jesus said? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For 40 years, talking to the sheep, listening to the sheep, working with the sheep, protecting the sheep, he becomes what God is interested in, a shepherd. And he's going to lead the people of God. And to lead the people of God, he will learn to become a shepherd, knowing the sheep by name, knowing their needs, looking after them, protecting them, caring them, leading them, guiding them, guarding them. He will become a little good shepherd, a picture of Jesus who said, I am the good shepherd. Don't despise God's chastening on your life. Don't despise that place of solitude and obscurity. God resists the proud and the arrogant. He gives grace to the humble and broken. Number two, the call. It's a supernatural call. It's a personal call. It's a holy call. It's a particular call. Listen to what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This call, I remind you, is coming to a fugitive. This call, I remind you, is coming to someone with a past, with skeletons in the cupboard. Remember the blow that killed the Egyptian taskmaster. Remember the burying into the pit. Remember looking this way and that. Remember fleeing. Remember his conscience being on fire. And yet a supernatural call. The angel of the Lord, a theophany, an appearance of the incarnate Son of God. It is a supernatural call. It is a bush which is burning, but it's not being consumed. It's a picture of Israel, always under fire, and yet never being consumed. And God is going to call Moses, the fugitive, the broken-hearted, guilty murderer, supernaturally, to lead Israel. It's a personal call. Moses, Moses, do you remember the children learning, the God who made me knows my name and everything I do. He knows my thoughts and words and ways and knows about you too. Moses, I know everything about you. I knew the night you were conceived in Jochebed's womb. I knew the day you were born. I saw you in the bulrushes, in that ark. It was me who guided the princess. I saw you being raised in the palace. I know what you did with the Egyptian. I've seen you in the desert, in your solitude, in your obscurity. I've seen you up to your eyes in sheep dung. I know everything about you, your past, your present, your future, the hairs upon your head. Moses. Moses. And it is a holy call. Take the shoes from off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Horeb meant burning flame. Take those sandals off, Moses. Feel the heat of my holiness. The one who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look on sin. The one who charges angels with folly, in whose sight the very heavens are unclean. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's on his face. He's covering his face. This is the divine. This is the Holy One of Israel. And it's a particular call. I'm the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of Israel. What's more, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to deliver them. It's a particular call for you to do a particular task. I remind you, this is the living God, who calls to his people. Have you heard his call? Number three, the name. As God reveals his eternity and history and destiny and victory. Listen, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. If you were brought up in the Anglican Communion, almost every creed and almost every prayer, who was and is to come, be glory forever. I am the I am. I am is my name. Not I was, not I will be, I am. The God who is infinite, filling the heavens and the earth. The God who is uncreated and unsupported. The God without body or parts. The God who is ageless and timeless and deathless and changeless. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. The uncreated, unsupported. Eternal God. Ever present. Not just the God of eternity, the God of history, who has revealed himself. This is the first time in 400 years that God has spoken. Revelation has come for the first time in 400 long years. But he reminds Moses, he is the God of history, the God who appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. The God who has a plan, who has all history in his hand. And the God of destiny, who's destined the deliverance of his people from Israel. And the God who has promised victory for Moses as he goes forward in that great name I am. In the New Testament, I remind you that Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. It is the greatest name. It is the highest name. It is the noblest name. It is the sweetest name. It is the most powerful name. The only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And this is a saving name. The God of eternity, history, destiny, and victory. Number four, the rod. Signs and wonders comes. As you read through the end of chapter 3 and you get to chapter 4, you find these words. Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. Throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. I wonder if you can capture just how fearful Moses was when the Lord appeared to him. In chapter 3, verse 11, he says to God, not me, Lord, I'm unworthy. In verse 13, he says, who are you and who's sending me? What's your name? In chapter 4, he says, they're not going to believe me. How will they believe me? Look at the state of me now. Remember in verse 10 and 12, he says, I can't speak very well. I'm really not eloquent. Do you remember what Stephen said in Acts? We learned it last week. He was powerful in speech and deed. I wonder if 40 years walking with sheep, talking to sheep, living in the desert, isolated, in solitude. Some people think God inflicted him with a stammer. But I wonder if it was just the fact all his confidence had now gone. Drained, shaky, old, fearful. I can't do it. Send someone else. Do you ever feel like that? When God calls you, I'm not worthy. I'm not sure of your name. No one is going to believe me. I can't speak very well. Send someone else, Lord. He will regret saying send someone else. God will provide Aaron. Don't miss next week's installment. Oh, Aaron, he can speak well, but he will lead the children of Israel in a merry dance around a golden calf. Be careful how you respond to the call of God. Here's a rod. What have you got in your hand? It's a staff. The rod of God. Throw it on the floor. It becomes a serpent. Ah, he's terrified. Why would he be terrified? Working in a desert for 40 years, it must have been a serpent he'd not come across before. One particularly venomous. One particularly dangerous. A killer. Or maybe it was one of those Egyptian ones. The gods of Egypt looked like serpents. Pick it up. It becomes the rod of God. See that staff, that rod? Look at it. You've been leaning on it, walking through the desert. Look at it. It's gnarled. Look at it. It's crooked. Look at it. You've been pulling your sheep and beating off the... Look, it's just an ordinary staff. I'm going to take the ordinary. and by my power and my spirit, do the extraordinary. Moses, put your hand. Ah, look at my hand. It's leprous. Put it back in again. Ah, look, it's clean. Moses, despite your past, soiled, unhealthy, unclean, dying, decaying, I am the God who can make it clean. Even your weakness, Moses, I'm going to use. Even your failure, Moses, I'm going to use. And if they don't believe that, watch the River Nile. You can't miss that installment. The signs and wonders of an authentic prophet of the living God. God can do extraordinary things with ordinary men and women who will obey his call. I just have one point of application, and it is this. Please look at me. The I Am of Holy Scripture speaks directly personally, knowingly, authoritatively to you. He says, you are hungry. I am the bread of life. He says, you're in spiritual darkness and sin. I am the light of the world. He says, you don't know where you're going or how to get there. I am the door. Can you hear him? He says, look at me. I am up to my eyes in dung. I'm as senseless and as ignorant as sheep who've lost their way. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for his sheep. Can you hear him? He says, look. You say, but I'm decaying and stinking and dying. I am the resurrection and the life. I am lost. I am the way. I am confused. I am the truth. And I don't know if I've got abundant life or eternal life. Well, I am the life. And I feel as if I'm under your chastisement. I'm being pruned and cut and cut and cut in order to bear fruit. I am the true vine. And I'm scared about the past. And I'm scared about the future. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I know all about your past, all about your present, all about your future. And the I Am, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, calls out to you. There are people in ministry who shouldn't be in ministry. They've never had a divine call. There are people sitting in churches who claim to be Christians who are not. They've never had a divine call. The irresistible work of the Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, calling effectually men and women to repentance and faith and obedience. You might be like Moses, fearful. But you must be willing. Listen to this. I want you to be willing. Willing to give up. Help me be willing to receive what you give. Help me to be willing to lack what you withhold. Help me to be willing to relinquish what you take. Help me to be willing to surrender what you claim, to suffer what you ordain, to do what you command, to wait until you say go. And be willing to come to the I Am who saves to the uttermost. All that come to God by him. Let's stand and sing.